Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Hello, welcome to Living Life Powerfully. This is Perletta and Raj, and we're thrilled to have Helen Koplowski here today to talk about passion. Helen is an extremely passionate woman who has directed her life into many, many areas that has been the source of power and inspiration for others. Here's some examples. Helen is an award-winning administrator who has secured recognition as Michiganian of the Year by the Detroit News for her community and organizational leadership. She has led top-tier nonprofit organizations such as the Food Bank of Oakland County, which is now a part of Gleaners Food Bank. She's led Big Brothers and Big Sisters and the Michigan AIDS Foundation, the Michigan AIDS Coalition. Currently, Helen is the president and CEO of the Macomb County Habitat for Humanity. And in addition to that, she's made time to serve on various boards, and most importantly, at least for some others, she's a loving and kind wife and mother and a daughter and friend. And Helen is known for being just an exceptional human being. She and her husband, Daryl, collectively have 9 children. One of those children is severely cognitively and physically challenged, and 2 others were recently adopted. So hopefully we'll hear a little bit more about that in a moment. Helen believes that her career has been a success because she's dedicated her life to serving those less fortunate. And because I personally know Helen, I believe her life is a success because she takes that philosophy into her life. Helen, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. You're giving me a lump in my throat.
Oh, I adore you, Helen. You're a wonderful human being. So when you hear the phrase living a life of passion, as you manifested it in your life, what does that mean to you?
You know, for me, I think it just means totally embracing my world. Whatever happens to come my way, I'm going to try really hard to put my arms around it. Maybe it's my love relationships, my work, you know, my friendships, that sort of thing. So I sort of submerge myself, as you two do as well.
Wow. There has to be a lot of trust in order to be able to do that, Helen. So can you speak a little bit on that? Like, is it just that you trust the process of life where you can really embrace things that come your way, whatever they may be?
Well, I do trust, and I think you have to, but I also fail. And I think that maybe that's the piece that so many people are afraid of, that, you know, if they go down this path that they, you know, seriously want to go down and things don't work out, you know, they actually don't even want to take that first step for the fear of it all. I don't know how it happened to me that I'm not really afraid of too many things. I mean, I'm naturally afraid of certain things and I won't go down certain paths that don't feel right for me. But I am a little bit adventurous and I do trust and I risk. And usually it goes well and sometimes it goes horribly bad. So I pick myself up and, you know, look in the mirror and say, okay, how are we going to fix this and how are we going to move on? So that's
so
what I do.
So you're not ready to fix. Yeah. So how important is passion in your life, Helen?
Well, I think passion is very important because otherwise, you know, you don't get up in the morning. You know, you would be, you know, staying under those delicious covers and not, you know, getting up and doing the things that drive you. For me, there's several things, you know, that do drive me. One is to work for a nonprofit that has a mission that's meaningful. I want to get up and do something every day that's helping others. And, of course, you know, the money hasn't always been fabulous, but sometimes the other end of that is that, you know, at the end of the day when you go home, you can sort of sing as you're driving home, like, oh, that was wonderful what happened today. That woman who received the house, or that family who, you know, was able to eat, you know, or whatever the mission is. I think that is a good way to embrace life. And, of course, you know, family and friends are other important passions of mine. So just keeping in mind what's important to you, and then just jumping out of bed in the morning and saying, okay, how are we going to go at this today? What are we going to do different? You know, and not being afraid of change. I think that's probably something we should talk about, change.
Yeah.
There are a couple things that you just mentioned that were particularly powerful for me, and one of those is failures. And then the second one was the things that inspire you. It sounds like you let the life and the things that are of interest to you inspire your next move. And for you, it sounds really easy, but is it?
No. You know, and you as I get older and I get a little wiser, some of the things that come at me, I can handle with more grace and ease as compared to when I was younger. I'm not as emotional or overreactive, although I still from time to time do overreact. I admit that about myself, but not as much. And I don't usually send that email until I've read it, you know, 14 times. So I'm calmer maybe, but things are hard. There are hard things in life, and, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with attitude as well. You know, how am I going to look at this particular challenge or potential failure?
So what I hear you speaking to is, which I love, because sometimes you hear folks talk about all of the successes and they rarely talk about the things they struggled with, the challenges that they face.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're defined as much by our successes as we are, quote unquote, by our failures.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, what you're speaking to, or at least what I hear you speaking to,
mm-hmm.
is that you're self-introspective. Like, you look at who I am and how can I continue to stretch and grow and let it inform
mm-hmm.
how I'm going to be in my life.
Yes. There's been a couple instances in my career where I've had to embrace a large merger of, nonprofits. And by doing that, I knew that my position would be eliminated. And I think that was a really hard thing to face, at least from a career perspective, because you didn't know what was on the other end. You couldn't even imagine what would be on the other side of that. And then in my own personal life, my husband and I had a special needs child in my 40s, which was an unexpected event. Our little boy was very seriously handicapped and challenged. And so having to have nurses in the home, you know, like really serious things that we are dealing with, takes attitude of great positiveness, like, wow, a new person coming into our home. I'd like to learn all about this person. The hospitals that we deal with, you know, getting on the boards, the various advisory boards, and, you know, knowing the different doctors and the caretakers there. You know, you have to really go beyond, well, this isn't how I plan to live my life, because you're going to have things coming at you that were unexpected, and you really do need to deal with them.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned those two things. You're a very busy woman. I mentioned some of the activities you've been engaged with, and you also mentioned that you have a special needs child. How do you find time to do all that you do with the passion and inspiration that you have?
Humor. I would say wine, but I don't want to promote heavy drinking. No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. So, humor, really, and I guess being really organized. I have to say I'm probably one of the most organized people I know, but that's not because I, you know, want that as a title or a tag, but mostly because I have to be in order to make it all fit, you know. But, and humor, laughing through everything, laughing through, you know, the nurse that didn't show up on the shift when I have, you know, a television interview, and how do I handle that? Potentially bringing Anthony with me now and then, you know, unexpectedly. really having to laugh at yourself, even. You know, how did you end up, how did it happen that you have 9 children? 9. You know, I feel like that woman on that show, 19 Kids and Counting. I used to look at her and go, And now I'm just 10 away. You know, so you just really have to laugh at yourself. Oh, gosh. And plan well. Financial planning is good.
What inspired you and Daryl to adopt the 2 children that you extra to make up the total?
Mm-hmm. So here's what happened. We had a large family. We were good to go. And a year ago, during the December holiday, the phone rang, and it was a nonprofit in the area who knew we had a foster care license, and they said, "We just need you to keep these 2 children for a week during the holidays. It's an emergency situation. Would you even consider it?" And so we still had our foster care license, and we said, "All right." So they brought over the bags of gifts and everything, and they were at our house for the holiday, and this is what happens is that when children come into your home and you see how vulnerable they are, and you know that they've been in 5 foster homes in 1 year, and they're angry and they're crying and they're just little sweethearts, and you look into their eyes, you know, for me at least, and for my husband, really more even for my husband, who's really the saint here, it's like, okay, when do we move them on to the next foster home and so they can go to the next foster home? Or is this something that we could do? Could we do this? And in our situation, it was a life-changing decision, because we already were very, very full. Our lives were very, very full. You know, Nathaniel, even in our old age here, Nathaniel's 11, Anthony is 10, and, you know, here we were bringing in these 2 children. So anyway, in the end, you know, I guess it was love. And a husband who really was remarkable. So things would be very different if Daryl wasn't in the picture, that's for sure. How different?
Well,
I don't know. That would be another challenge.
You know, so. I'm really struck by when you said, you know, it really is love, because before you even said that, I'm thinking, wow. I mean, Helen is a person with a big heart. Your generosity and your being able to connect with those foster children as if they're yours.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, just really, really taking care of them. Then something else you said about, you know, you've gained wisdom through the years, just
yes,
by virtue of living your life. So I'm interested to know, what life lessons can we learn from you? What have you learned along the way,
mm-hmm,
that have helped you to live a fully engaged and passionate life?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, one of the things I've learned is sometimes the buck really does stop at your door. You know, you have to face up to that reality and say, okay, what if I say yes here, you know, what will that mean for us? And if I say no, what will it mean for the other person? Sometimes you really do have to embrace and think about the other person, as well as yourself, of course. And I think the other thing I've learned is that getting older is inevitable, for sure, but aging is optional. And so I think it's like how you embrace your, you know, the years as they come and they go. Just because I'm, you know, in my 50s now, doesn't mean that I can't be full of life and, you know, really sucking every drop of juice out of it. I know both of you do it in your own way, and this is how I do it, to have a full career and to have, you know, I think women can now do more than just have a career or have a family. I think there are ways where you can do both, and I've got that down now. I mean, I still really mess up. You know, there are moments when I'm the insane woman with the, you know, the look on her face, you know, the deer in the headlight look, for sure. But most days it's not quite like that, you know, so.
I guess
those would be the 2 things that I would say.
Yeah, so what I get from what you're saying, Helen, is, you know, you just make a decision, yes or no, depending on what you know, what is going on. And what the other thing I really picked up is you really are taking responsibility for life. You know, when you embrace it, you take responsibility for your decisions. And what I'm getting is that even though, you know, let's say you have gone on a path that doesn't lead to where you thought it would go, you're not afraid of that. You're not afraid to turn back around and just do it all over again. Go back to the yes or no. You know, getting older is inevitable. I love that. Aging is optional. That's beautiful because I totally agree with you. I'm in my 50s as well, so I understand.
You know, the truth is, though, sometimes when you do go down that path, you know, it does take courage. I don't care if it's a new position or even when you're in a position, you know, for example, here at the current situation that I'm in for Habitat for Humanity, you know, walking in the door, you have a whole new set of staff, you have a whole new set of situations, you know, circumstances, things, challenges, whatever. You know, that is fearful, you know, that it takes courage to do that. But once you're there, again, you know, you have that opportunity to build relationships, which is something we really didn't talk about. You know, sometimes building those relationships can make everything so much better. And then even in my own personal life, you know, the children, that sort of thing, you know, working with all the resources, learning what the supports are in your community, you know, not just calling someone up on the phone, but actually sitting down in front of them and saying, hey, how can you help this child? What can we do to make this child's life better? I find that when you actually go in front of a person and they can look into your eyes and you can look into theirs, you know, there's something there. There's a bond that occurs. And I think that, you know, that's helpful, and I just think that most of us need to do a little more of that and a little less of perhaps Facebook or, you know, even though I do that.
Oh, I could not agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. I mean, now, you know, I'll go to a restaurant and I'll see a family and nobody's even looking at each other. Nobody's talking. Each of them have their little devices and they're just going at it, and It's really, really sad to see. It's like you've got your family sitting in front of you. You're losing precious time.
You are. So, every minute matters, for sure. Yep.
Yes, it does.
So there's something that you said, Helen. Well, there are many things you said that are meaningful, but something that you said that was particularly meaningful to me, because I think many people believe that life is supposed to be perfect. Like when it's successful, that means it's picture perfect. And you said, there are moments I'm the insane woman with the deer in the headlights, like in my eyes, and because it's not always perfect, right? That's just not even realistic.
Great.
You are full of love and passion, and you pass it on to others. And I don't know if you're familiar with Thoreau, but he's attributed with saying the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. And I wonder, what do you believe are the reasons that people never find their passion?
Well, again, the number one reason is fear. I might make a mistake. People will laugh at me. I have been laughed at. I'm certain that in some place, there's my picture on a wall and people are throwing darts at it or something, you know. Or, you know, I've been the end of jokes, you know, look at her, she's in her 40s having a baby, that's hilarious, you know, all of this stuff. And you have to be somehow secure with yourself. You have to say, you know what, I'm not walking this journey for them, I'm walking this journey for me. You know, they have their own paths to follow and explore, I have mine. We don't all have to follow the same thing. We don't have to be the same thing, but we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be willing to commit, take responsibility, you know, and I think help others. I do think that's a huge piece of it. A woman in my class one year, I'll just wrap up. I don't know what our time is, but I had a woman in my class who was crying every day when I was teaching at a college early in my life. And it turned out that her son was killed and she was grieving. And to this day, we've helped each other. We got to know each other. We've been very, very good, if not best friends, our whole lives. And she went on to get her degree. She's very successful. And we talk on the phone probably every day. And you have to I reached out to her, but by the same token, she reached out to me. And you have to be willing to open yourself up to that and help others. So, I don't know if that says what, if that answers Thoreau, but, you know, that's Helen. Anyway.
I think it does, actually.
Yes.
Not only did you answer the question, but you gave a number of different options for people for making choices when sometimes there's doubt. And we all have or experience doubt at various times of their lives. So fear is just normal. It's not something we can avoid. And when it we become fearful, what you spoke to was doing the exact opposite, which is sometimes when people are fearful, they withdraw. But you're like, no, don't withdraw. Focus on being secure in yourself and go after what you want. And being open,
exactly.
That openness is the exact opposite. No, so you answered the question.
Good. Okay.
Well, you know, just right along that line, I remember a quote from John Maxwell where he says that it's the fuel. Passion is a fuel for your will. And he says it turns the have-tos into want-tos. So if you want something bad enough, you're going to find the willpower to achieve it. And you won't stop trying until you do. So, Helen, what is that for you? Like, where you just, you know, it is not the have to. You don't have to get up and do what you do.
No.
It's that you want to. What is, you know, what is that? What is it that stirs your soul to want to have to get up in the morning and do what you do?
You know, maybe it's a conglomeration of all of the people in my past, all of the women that reached out to me, that mentored me, my parents, you know, all the sacrifices that people made for me, the friendships along the way. I'm not sure how to quite answer that. I can just say that I do feel these, you know, hands, you know, behind me, nudging me forward somehow, the invisible hands of all of the people. And then just deciding, you know, that's what's important. Sometimes putting the other person first, and I'm certainly no saint, trust me on this, but putting the other person first and, you know, trying to figure out how you really can help that person, that could be a very strong driving force, that feeling of doing good or, you know, doing better. So I think maybe part of it is that. And but by the same token, I think, you know, on the other side of it is having to learn also to take a little time off. You know, we haven't talked too much about that, and I think that people who are really busy, like all three of us probably, we don't really focus a whole lot on, hey, I've got to take some time off now. You know, I just have to go and get in the tent and go smell the air, or I have to read a book and take a bath and not deal with anybody else at this moment in time. I think that's probably, for myself at least, one of the areas that I'd like to start working on a little bit more, because all of us who have these very busy lives sometimes forget to do that, you know, enough. I've just recently started getting my nails done on a regular basis. I really had just kind of let my physical self go. I went to a real salon, all right, and I had my hair dyed professionally. It looks great. My hair is cut and dyed now. My nails are done.
Yay.
Hello. I mean, these are things that my peer group, you know, every day they come in, they look like something out of a magazine, you know. And not that I ever look unprofessional, but just a little extra stuff, you know. So now I'm beginning to focus a little more on that. And I'm getting a massage occasionally, so.
Oh, wow. You know,
and
this is so good. It's like you're ready. You're ready for whatever is coming your way. Sometimes I'll do that. People will be like, why are you dressed up? I'm like, I'm ready. That way if anybody calls or, you know, whatever is around the corner, I'm ready for it. I can't make excuses, right?
That's
so,
right.
You know, it almost sounds like, you know, you have this momentum, Helen. You have this momentum moving forward, and it's like you've taken your life experiences, you've taken the wisdom that you've gained, and you just go for it, okay? And you've got, you know, you've got your balances, you've got your checks and balances in place. Now, do you ever just totally lose your passion. It's like, oh, you know what? I just can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if
well,
you do,
I'm like the screaming. I'm like the screaming Italian mother or something from time to time. You know, where I like I'm at home. It usually happens at home. It never happens at work. I mean, I'm very. Oh my gosh, you wouldn't hear a peep coming out of me like that at work. Although maybe behind closed doors, you know, like to myself. But at home, I could be the screaming. You know. Mom, for sure. You know, where if I come in at the end of a day, I don't know, don't you have this experience where you come in at the end of the day and the kitchen is messed up and there's clothes everywhere and somebody's homework isn't done and, you know, you've just spent hours at a board meeting, you know, maybe even a tense board meeting or something. It's like, oh, what am I thinking? How did I get here to this moment, you know? But then, you know, it turns quickly for me. You know, later that evening, I'm looking in on some little kid, you know, with the little golden curls sprawled, and he's happy, and he's not hungry, and he's got a home and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, this was a good decision. It was a good decision. And so maybe, you know, for me, it's, Things aren't always going to be perfect, like you said. You know, the house isn't always going to be so magazine perfect. But, you know, somebody is happy. And maybe there's a shot, you know, for a happy life for that child. Or, you know, and by the same token, I get to hug someone every day, someone that I didn't have before. And so it all kind of works out for me, you know. But there are those moments.
Beautiful.
There are those moments, though.
Yeah,
well,
one
of the things that was really significant that you mentioned was it's so important to take time out for yourself. I know as women, and I'll speak specifically because I'm a woman, I can't speak for men, but I know as women we tend to want to do it all. We give selflessly to family members, to our careers, to our community. Certainly as we age, we have elderly parents, and we give and we give, and that causes a drain at some point. And unless you recharge your batteries and do things for yourself that's loving and kind, now turn that loving and kindness to yourself, you can get burned out.
So
and
true.
So it sounds like you've gotten started with getting your nails and hair done. Are there other things that you plan on doing to be supportive of yourself so that you don't get burned out? Because you got a lot extra going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I like to travel. I must say that no one could compete with you, Perla. But my husband and I are planning a trip to Italy, which I think is something fun. No kids, just us. I love that. And no grandchildren, you know, although they're beautiful in their own. They're just spectacular, really. But so there's the Italy trip, and I guess that's really it right now. We're going to Disney, if that makes any sense, but that is with children. So I do find that sort of enjoyable, though. And reading, you know, I like to read and that sort of thing. So more reading, more quiet time, trying to shut down the house, you know, maybe around 9 instead of 10, you know, getting things quieter. So really that's it for me. But Italy's big. I mean, come on, you know, give me credit there. Italy is big.
Oh, no. Well, I'm glad that you're going on a trip. But you shared a lot of words of wisdom with us today, Helen. Thank you for being present on the show, for offering to our listeners what has worked for you in your life. We have just a couple moments left, so we want to close with a quote by Howard Thurman, which is that he said, "Don't worry about what the world needs. Ask what may come alive and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." And Helen, you exemplify that. You not only are you vibrant in the conversation, you're vibrant in your life. And not everyone's life is going to look like yours, but you do your life extremely well. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Week we're going to cover...
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
Next week we're going to cover part 2 of our 3-part series on passion, where we're going to focus on the emotional intelligence element. Helen talked about some emotional issues like fear and inspiration, but we're going to touch more on that next week. Specifically, we're going to explore important questions like why is emotional intelligence important and how can gaining an understanding of your intelligence as well as others help you connect with your passion. Between now and then, if you'd like to reach us, please feel free to email us at Pearl Raj Radio. And if you'd like to get more recent updates, you can log into our Facebook page, which is called Living Life Powerfully. Thank you, Helen and Raj. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.